Hello, and welcome to the ArborHive Project Podcast, where we bridge the gap between clinical experience and medical innovation. Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare providers are critical to designing the medical technology of tomorrow. Your clinical knowledge is valuable. From planning basics to industry experts, we're here to help you on your journey. So let's get to it. Hello, my name is Nikki Kennedy, and I'm your host for the ArborHive Project Podcast. My hope is that you are intrigued by life science and medical innovation. Perhaps you're a physician or a nurse. Maybe you have a background in another area of medicine, such as respiratory therapy or radiology. Or maybe you come from the academic or industry side of the fence. You might be one of those people who thinks outside of the box, as they say. In any case, welcome. As this is our very first podcast, I probably should start telling you who I am and what the heck the ArborHive Project is all about. So as I mentioned, my name is Nikki Kennedy. I started life as an electrical engineer. When I was in my undergrad program, my father had started a company. He was a specialist in the dental world, and he had developed a company around a device he had designed. My friends in the military taught me a word, voluntold. I was voluntold by my dad that I would be helping him with regulatory and quality issues that he was having back at that time. As an engineering student, conscripting me into service solved a lot of problems for him. And as it turned out, the experience made a huge impact on my career. I caught the bug, the innovation bug. I was fascinated to see how what we were doing in this little mom-and-pop backroom office on a Gateway Pentium computer could help so many people in need. I was contributing to patient care, even though I had no idea what a patient really looked like. Somewhere along the way, I decided that going into biomedical device design was the career for me. So I decided to go to grad school and learn how to do that. I ended up enrolling at the University of Michigan's biomedical engineering program back in its early days. During these ancient times, the amazing programs that get young engineers immersed into the innovation world with projects and connections just didn't exist like it does today. I was exposed to an incredible array of cool engineering skills and projects, but I found more and more that I had no idea what to do with all of it. I wanted to build something that would help people, but I had no idea what they needed. I wanted to invent devices that would change the world, but I had no idea what the world wanted or what was already in it. What did doctors want? After months of fussing in a lab, all I could figure out was that doctors seemed to want me to fix the electronic stuff they had broken during their experiments. So there I was, fixing yet another amplifier. This time it was for some muscle cell stimulator platform from the lab next door. Everyone was very nice and very appreciative, but it hit me. I would be fixing some MD's amplifier for the rest of my life, or begging for grant money. And none of this helped me to figure out what the heck I should be designing with all of that engineering know-how rumbling around in my brain. Fortunately for me, I had friends who were in medical school at that same time. They would fill me in on everything they were studying and doing as time went on. At first, I thought it was terrible. Who would spend all of that time memorizing textbooks just to end up stuck in a hospital on a Saturday night with some bossy resident telling you what to do every minute? It seemed like such a bad idea. Until it wasn't. I realized that my friends were actually getting to do some cool things during the rotations. They knew stuff. They saw stuff. Stuff that I never got to learn about while I was sitting in my little backroom lab. And somewhere along the way, I realized that the longer I spent in that backroom lab, the less likely I ever was to learn about the real world. It dawned on me that the PhD life might not be for me. After a while, I gave in. I applied to medical school. Long story short, I somehow ended up as a vascular surgeon. Hey, it's the ultimate engineering gig. More importantly, I got to see stuff and do stuff. I've seen almost everything you can see in a medical setting. From the ER stockroom to the sterile processing department, all the way to the ICU pantry and even the morgue. You name it, I've probably been there. I'm pretty sure I didn't sleep for a few years because I was so busy running around. Slowly, the blanks started to fill in. I started to see problems that didn't have great solutions. My engineering skills may have gotten a little rusty over the years, but knowing what was possible made the idea of innovating more intriguing. Obviously, surgery isn't a short walk in the woods. It takes a while. A long while. A long, very busy, very exhausting while. So for many years, I didn't give the idea of getting back into the innovation side of medicine much thought. Once things settled down and my board exams and startup practice issues were behind me, my mind started to wander again. Why didn't I take a few ideas and try something out, just to see what happens? A colleague of mine told me that the University of Michigan was doing a presentation down at Detroit's Tech Town headquarters back in 2017. He said, "It's something about innovation. We should go and check it out." I had no idea how important that evening would turn out to be. I had started dabbling in project design again, but I had been pretty haphazard about it. But the Fast Forward Medical Innovation team from the University of Michigan had a pretty sweet program. They gave a little team intro and an abbreviated version of their core teachings that night. Almost immediately after that, I enrolled into their introductory fast-paced program with a project idea I'd been kicking around for a while. To my great surprise, this class had nothing to do with engineering, nor did it have much to do with medical science. It was about something called value propositions and customer discovery. These were terms that were pretty alien to me. Why would I need to ask other people if they liked my project idea? I mean, wasn't it obvious how incredible it was? Everyone was going to love it. Well, after going through their program and actually asking a bunch of people about my idea, I realized it might not be as great as I had originally thought. And as it turns out, there were a couple of similar competitors who had launched just before me. I suddenly realized that having a bunch of medical and engineering degrees did not mean that I knew anything about business. In fact, I was clueless. And the questions they asked me about estimated market sizes and milestone creation, they might as well have asked me in Greek. I had never thought in those terms before. How did they know what to ask, or where to find these answers? The only thing I knew was that this was the kind of thing that turned me on. I loved this final piece of the innovation puzzle. Out of the blue, I had found my original calling after all of these years, that little intersection where medicine, engineering, and business all collided. It took some soul searching, but I eventually came to the conclusion that I got into this game because of my love for innovation, so if I was serious about pursuing it, I had better figure out this business piece. And fast. That decision led me to getting my MBA in 2019, again through the University of Michigan. This time, however, the biomedical innovation world was totally different. There was an entire ecosystem in place. People were excited to be involved with products and service development. There were meetings and networks and resources that blew my mind. If the world had been like that in 1997, my career path probably would have been very different. Most importantly, I found something out that seemed rather curious to me. When I introduced myself to people in this community, they were not only welcoming, but they were usually delighted to include me in discussions and projects. Why? Well, turns out it's because I was a doctor. I had boots-on-the-ground clinical experience. All of those nights I had spent holding a retractor in the OR on some emergency case, or those hours I sat at the bedside in some ICU watching patient monitors with nurses, those turned out to be pretty useful. It was as if my eyes had suddenly opened up. Things came into focus. I started to volunteer as a mentor with different accelerators and coaching programs. I had the opportunity to work with dozens of startup companies and young research groups who were trying to figure out how to get their products to market. Most importantly, I had the chance to connect with people who had done this before. Business commercialization experts, startup CEOs, venture capitalists. I soaked up every pearl of knowledge they dropped as best I could. As time went on, the concepts and patterns of technology commercialization started to become more clear. I know. At this point in the story, you're thinking to yourself, so what? I don't have that kind of time. Why are you telling me this? But this is the cool part. What if I told you that you could still engage with developing technology and young companies without having to go through all of the rigmarole that I just described? Because you can. That's the idea behind the ArborHive Innovation Network. I began ArborHive in 2019 as a way to make getting involved as easy as possible for busy docs and nurses. As a clinical specialist, you have a rare ability. You understand the science and the art of patient care. This is a skill that a few startups have, but they all desperately need. The concept behind the ArborHive Network is to get you, as a clinician, access to groups that could use your insight without compromising your time or privacy. And these podcasts? My goal is to help introduce you to common ideas and terms that get used in the innovation world so it doesn't seem so strange. Like everything else, the business world uses a lot of acronyms and labels. It can be pretty overwhelming at first. We'll start with a few basic things to get you thinking about projects. Do you have an idea for a medical device? Do you know how to get started? What can you say, and what should you keep under wraps? Does market research seem a little ethereal and terrifying? My answer to all of these questions was, I have no idea, for a really long time. In each episode, we'll break it down a little more. And we'll have some guests who are much smarter than myself who have agreed to help us along the way. Because, hey, I'm still learning too. Eventually, you should feel more comfortable getting involved in these types of conversations. And with each conversation, you might find more and more opportunities to get involved. Whether you want to start your own medical device company, or if you just want to have some informal chats about cool new technology that some young group is developing, innovation comes in all shapes and sizes. There's plenty of room on this train for everyone, and I really hope that you'll consider jumping on the amazing ride this is. So in closing today, I'd like to make one final point. Patient care is important. It's a vocation for many clinicians, but that doesn't mean it's the only thing you can do with all of that knowledge. So if you have some natural curiosity and a little bit of imagination, medical innovation could really use your help. I'd love for you to check out our website at www.arborhive.com. Think about joining our innovation network, and please subscribe to this podcast series. At the very least, you can find some entertainment in my awkwardly whimsical podcasting style. When it comes to networking, more is always better, so please join us as we get a little wild and head off the beaten path. And so we come to the end of our inaugural podcast. I thank you for sticking around. In case you'd like to dive a little more into some of the groups and programs I mentioned in today's episode, I've included their links in the comments section. Once again, I'm Nikki Kennedy, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Arborhive Project Podcast. If you enjoyed our transmission, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and your other favorite listening platforms. We also appreciate all of your likes, shares, and comments. To learn more about what we do and to get involved in our innovation network, please be sure to visit us at www.arborhive.com, where you can find links to our weekly updates, monthly newsletter, and our companion blog, The Lonely Surgeon, Navigating the Murky Waters of the Business of Medicine. And please consider joining our innovation network and becoming a part of our growing movement of medical providers who are looking to partner with innovators. Together, we strive to make the future world of medicine a better place. Before we let you go, we should mention the usual disclaimer that this podcast and the Arborhive Project does not represent medical or legal advice, and that you should always consult a professional. Arborhive has no financial affiliations with any of the services or guests who appear on our show. Thank you again for your time. Keep thinking outside of that box, and we'll see you next time.